Hello, and welcome to Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. I'm Leanne Pruitt, your host, and I am so happy you've joined us today. We have a really great interview for you today. I am really excited that my friend Amanda Jefferson is here. Hello, Amanda.
Hey, Leanne.
So great to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, we're going to have fun today. And let me tell you guys a little bit about Amanda. Amanda Jefferson is an organization and productivity consultant, the owner of Indigo Organizing, and one of the world's first KonMari consultants. After a 20-year career in consulting, education, and nonprofit leadership, Amanda now channels her passion by helping busy people to declutter and simplify their lives at home and at work. You know, it's really fascinating. I've got to hear more about this, like being one of the world's first KonMari certified consultants. But tell me, how did you get started in this?
So it was a little bit of an undercover operation. I was in a totally different career. I had an inspiring but stressful career. I was the executive director of a nonprofit in Philadelphia, which I loved. I had been doing it for about 6 years. Before that, I got my MBA, I worked in business, I worked at the Wharton School, traveled all over the world. But the most recent job that I had was also the most challenging job, and it happened to coincide with having a little one at home. I have one daughter, she's 8. I had a newborn, big fundraising goal, long commute, and I was like pretty much on the verge of burnout. But I started calling it a creative renaissance.
it's all in the words. It's all in how you spin it.
Yes. And I think if you say it with a terrible French accent, that just makes it even better. So when I was at my old job, you know, we used to joke, we would go around the table, like, what would you be doing if you weren't doing this? And people would say they'd be in a rock band. And I said, I would be a professional organizer. And we would all just sort of like, ha, 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 ha. But sort of like deep inside of me, I was like, I don't want to be in the staff meeting. I actually want to be organizing the supply closet. So around the time that I actually started thinking about, okay, how can I simplify my own life? I did the whole KonMari process in my own home, found it totally life-changing because I have not always been an organized person. So at the time in my life with newborn and everything, it was overwhelming. And then Marie Kondo started training people. So I became sort of undercover operations, still had my job, went up to New York City, was in the first class ever of trainees, gave notice at my job, 6 months notice. And that was about 3 or 4 years ago. And here I am now.
Now, was Marie Kondo there herself?
Yes. So when I took it, the whole course was in Japanese. So it was just Marie Kondo and her Japanese trainers. Now it's taught, actually, I'm a trainer now. So I teach future trainees now and it's all in English. But yeah, Marie's there and it's awesome. She's just as amazing in person as she is everywhere else that you see her.
So, I got a couple of questions. You, when you did the KonMari method, when you did that in your own home, did you actually like pull all your clothes out and put them on the bed all at once?
I did. And it does inspire this feeling of like, what have I done? Like, I just want to put it all back. Like, this is kind of a mess. But that's kind of the point. Like, you're looking for like this visceral experience of like, look how much stuff that I have. Mm-hmm. Clothes wasn't too bad for me. Paper was terrible. Like, I felt like her in the book where she said she wanted to hide under the covers and just hope it would all go away. Like, that's how paper was for me. But yeah, I kind of did it by the book. I pulled everything out.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you weren't always an organized person. When did you, was it reading Marie Kondo's book and doing the KonMari method that got you there? Or did you kind of, were you kind of beginning to acquire those skills as you came up to doing what you did with KonMari?
You know, I've always loved organizing. Like, I've always found it like a really cathartic like process. Like, if I'm really stressed, you'd find me like in my linen closet, just like, I can fix this problem. You know, I can create kind of order out of chaos. I've always loved living with less. Like, my favorite home of all time that I've ever lived in was my 600 square foot studio apartment in Washington, D.C. Like, you just had to kind of, that was what you could own and that was it. Yeah. But I don't think I had ever been really good at like creating systems, like with a newborn baby and a husband who doesn't share my enthusiasm for tidy environments, I don't think that I had ever really, I think I had done what a lot of other people had done, which was get organized, go out and get bins, label them. But I had never sort of before KonMari taken like this really like totally brand new, like ruthless picture of like, what is all this stuff that I have around me and do I actually need it?
So you you didn't necessarily declutter, you organized.
Before, I would say yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I organized.
I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. It's like they get the cart before the horse, they go by the pretty bins and say, and then it's like, whoa, you know. I think one of my, I have like this Pinterest board that has all these quotes. I have my Let's Ace Your Space quote board. And I think one of the quotes says, organized clutter is still clutter. So
yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
The title of this show is Ace Your Space, Declutter Your Life, Free Your Time, Reclaim Your Energy. So what is Ace Your Space, or the title of this show? What does it mean to you?
When I hear that, it really says to me, like, get back in control, like get in the driver's seat and find your happy place. I think like your is a really key part of that title there, because, you know, a lot of the people that we work with, they're getting the Real Simple magazine, they're getting the HGTV, magazine, they're on Pinterest, they're on Instagram, and they might have these sort of like false ideas of like what organized is supposed to look like. And I think it's really about your joy, your space, what works for you. You know, your home doesn't have to look like Martha Stewart lives there. So for me, I love that Ace Your Space, because it really says to me like control, but it also like personalizes it, that it's about you.
Yep. Good answer. I love that. So now let me ask you, when people decide that they want to try and clear up their clutter, they want to get organized, maybe they even want to do KonMari, I don't know, what are the biggest mistakes that you see them make?
So I think it's really a lot what we talked about before, like the organizing versus the decluttering, right? I think they want to go out and buy a bunch of fancy bins to organize things that they don't need. Luckily, I think when people come to me, they're bought into the idea of KonMari, and they know that it's a pretty dramatic shift. It's changing a pretty dramatic shift, about their relationship with all of their stuff. But I think probably the biggest mistake people make is that they're not like, I'll use this word a ton in our interview today, like ruthless. They're not like ruthless enough. Mm-hmm. They're like very much still, especially in the beginning of the process, like, well, maybe I should, and it would be a good idea, and da da da. Especially when they try to do it themselves, by themselves. If they have a professional organizer that's there working with them, that's like pushing in and asking the harder questions, but when they're doing the work by themselves, they're typically not ruthless enough.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you work with someone and they're in that place where they're still sitting on their maybe items and their that stuff? How do you get them over that hump?
Yeah. So I just put a really fun freebie on my website. This is different than the freebie that your audience is going to get, but it's a fun freebie that's called the 6 questions, like the 6 no-nonsense questions that I would ask you if I were in your closet. Mm-hmm. And so some of them are like, okay, imagine that, because they might say something like, well, if I had a job interview, maybe I would wear this. I don't know. And so I'll ask them, well, what would you wear if you didn't have it? And they'll say, oh, well, I would just wear that white shirt and those pants. It's like, okay. Or a lot of times I'll say to them, the question is the answer. So they'll say something like, is this too short? Is this out of style? Should I not wear pleats? Are ruffles weird on me? And a lot of times
ruffles are weird on me. Yeah.
Ruffles are weird on me, right? So the question is the answer. So that sheet gives some of those questions. But a lot of times it's just like, a lot of times in KonMari, we talk about a mirror. So we're just saying like I'll have clients that are big sighers, they hold up something and they're just like, yeah. So I'll say, you're sighing or you're frowning or tell me more about that. And a lot of times, like, the less I can say, mm-hmm. and the more I can let them say, the closer they're going to get. But with maybes, I do say, as you're going through the clothes, don't let the maybes be a bottleneck or anything. Create a maybe pile. And then 99% of the time, the stuff in that maybe pile is not going to make its way back into the yes pile, but just don't get caught on it. Just say, I'm kind of stuck on this. I don't know what to do. And then put it in the maybes. Mm-hmm. So that's okay.
Got it. I love that. Now, what would you say the people that that you have helped, that you've worked with, that actually successfully get through the KonMari process and have transformed their homes, what kind of other changes do you see? What's been available to them from doing the process, and what's opened up for them?
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of them use the word lightness. Mm-hmm. Like, they just feel kind of like a sudden lightness. And they talk about just having a lot more like time, and sort of like, especially like right after they're done with the process, it'll be sort of like a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday, and they're like, huh, I think I'll just sit down and have a cup of tea now. You know, it's just like, they're not moving everything around in their house. They're not cleaning like crazy. They're not yelling at the kids about their toys. And so a lot of them just describe a lightness, being able to relax more, like less tension in their house, not spending so much time cleaning, like being able to enjoy things more. People talk too about being more confident, like physically, you know, they don't have this whole closet full of clothes that's telling them they need to lose 30 pounds, you know, they're just more at ease.
You know, I love that, because, you know, like, my view of clutter is it's really anything that gets in the way of you and what you want to do in your life. So it really sounds like the people that have successfully gone through KonMari, they're doing what they want to do. They're able to just sit and have that cup of tea, or, you know, spend the time on what they want to spend the time on, and not on their house, which is great.
Yeah, and I just finished Atomic Habits by James Clear, which is so good. And I love, because he talks about friction. And I think clutter and friction can almost be used interchangeably, where we have all this physical clutter and mental clutter and emotional clutter, and it creates all this friction in our lives. And when you release a lot of that, you just have less friction in your everyday life. And I love that. I love that word.
I like that. Yeah, I like that word too. I'm gonna have to check that book out. I haven't read that one.
It's so good. I love it.
Well, now you said something that sparked another question for me. How long does it typically take to really go through the KonMari process?
It totally depends on your timeline, motivation. You know, I usually say like maybe like a 6-month timeline. So there's 5 categories in the KonMari process. So, you know, you could think about dedicating 1 month to each category. Mm-hmm. But some may take more, some might take less. It totally depends. Like, I have clients that are like, I want to be done with this in 8 weeks. I have other clients that are like, I have a lot of other things going on in my life. I think this is going to be kind of a year-long process. So it really just depends. I think the faster you can go, the better. I think momentum is really key. So, because life just has a way of interfering. So I think 6 months is nice, but if you can get it done, I got it done in 3, and that was with having a little one at home and a full-time job.
Wow. You were motivated. You really were.
I was very motivated because I had to complete the process myself in order to be a consultant. So I was very motivated.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Love it. Love it. Well, one thing, another question has come to mind here. Often what I see with people that I work with in Less Seizure Space is, like, they'll come to me and they'll say, well, we've decluttered, and it just keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. And I really think that people need to have some sort of a mindset shift. Like, they need to think differently about, you know, their clutter and their relationship to things. How does that happen? Do you think that, like, just like going through the KonMari process, and maybe, like you said, being ruthless and seeing the shock of what it is, causes that mindset shift, or what have you noticed about that?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. One, I think definitely people that have gone through the process, they've put so much like blood, sweat, and tears into it, mm-hmm. that they are so careful, like, they don't want it to go back the way that it was before. So they think much more carefully about what they bring into the home. They're much more careful about where they put things. But at the same time, like, yes, it's like changing magic, but it's also like major behavior change, right?
Yes.
So it's like, as we talked about with habits, you know, it's all about like, how do you design your everyday to be simple and efficient and functioning? Like, what kind of habits do you put in place to make sure that that clutter stays under control? So in my framework that I use with my clients, I talk about home, habits, focus, and flow. Like, okay, let's get your home straight, but then we need to really focus on habits, because if we don't, we're going to go right back to where we were.
Mm-hmm. Got it. I like that. Now, where would you suggest if people have decided, all right, that's it, enough of this clutter, I got to do something, where would you suggest that they start?
So that's the nice thing about KonMari is that it provides that roadmap. So it's got the five categories and they're specifically designed to be done in order. So it's clothing, then books, then paper, then kimono, which is the Japanese word for like miscellaneous, like everything else, and then sentimental. And so, you know, you don't have to kind of do the zigzag organizing where you're like, I don't know, maybe the pantry and maybe the garage and maybe the, you just follow the order. And I think for people that just gives them the roadmap, it makes it seem like it's a little bit more bite-sized. They get to feel momentum. And it's very much designed in that way because like, you don't want to start with your wedding dress or your grandmother's tea set. You know, you don't want to start with those tough sentimental stuff. You want to kind of get, start with the easy stuff and go down as you go.
Well, now the, you know, that kimono or miscellaneous, that seems like an awful broad category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah. So like, I kind of think of, so for example, one of the big kimono categories is the kitchen, right? And the bath stuff. So even in the kitchen, we make it pretty bite-sized. If we're going to do the kitchen, we do things you cook with, things you serve with, things you eat with, and just always try to make it like as bite-sized as possible. And the bathroom, we would do, you know, kimono subcategories would be like hair products, bath products, you know, and you just kind of go through makeup and you just kind of go through product by product. So there's all these really great printables online that you can print out, or you just go to KonMari categories and they're great. They'll give you all the kimono categories right there. It's a nice category in the sense that it's so many tiny subcategories that I call it like the baby is sleeping category. Mm-hmm. So you could do like DVDs, gardening, ski equipment, like these little bite-sized categories that you just kind of move your way through.
Okay, so even though it's like the number four thing in the system, it's not like you're taking everything else out and putting everything
in. No, you do not want to do that. No, that you would hate me in a hot second if you decided to do that. No, so you want to gather small subcategories together. So your cleaning products, your DVDs. Exactly.
Got it.
Helps with bigger projects like a garage, for example. If you go in there and you're like, oh, where do you start? Let's start with holiday stuff. Let's start with ski equipment. Let's start with gardening. Small categories.
Well, I love that. That's a good idea. You know, one thing that kind of helped, that kind of more cemented me more on my clutter journey or decluttering journey as well, was my parents. They had this basement. I mean, it was from hell. It was like, and I was very organized in my own space. And I would say, I lived actually up kind of near where you do, near Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. But my parents would live in Atlanta, and I would go back to visit them. And I would say, all right, while I'm here, I'm going to get this basement decluttered. And I would go down the stairs and it would just suck me in. It was like a black hole. I was like frozen in the headlights. And so, and having, you know, KonMari at that time, you know, having those principles would have been really helpful. So
yeah,
got it figured out, but it took a lot of,
I know. Bite size is my middle name for sure. Yeah.
I love that. Amanda Bite Size Jefferson. I like that. Well, now let me ask you, what tips can you give people to free their time and reclaim their energy?
I think for me, it's all about saying no. I think it's all about saying no and saying no a lot and getting really good at saying no. I teach my clients a lot about how to have tough conversations. And it's interesting because now with the pandemic that we're going through, a lot of saying no has just happened for us. We don't have to say no to the birthday party anymore. We don't have to say no to Uncle Bob's barbecue that we don't want to go to. Like all of those no's have said. But like, so for example, I had a client who had a friend who would always bring over tons of kids' clothes for her. You know, here are this kids' clothes. And she was trying to get them out of her own house. Like for your kids. Yeah. The problem was she wanted them back. And so it created like this huge burden for my client because she had to, they don't get stains on them and which is which. And then when I see her again, make sure I bring back clothes. And finally she just sat down and had the tough conversation of, I'm so grateful for all the clothes, but please only give me what you don't want back. Like I can't handle figuring out, you know what I mean? So I teach my clients a lot about get ruthless, how to say no. Mm-hmm. I think something else to free up your time and reclaim energy, in fact, the freebie that I have for your audience is really about focusing on want and not should. So I think with our stuff, with our mental clutter, with our emotional clutter, we spend a lot of time thinking about the shoulds. Mm-hmm. And I really try to help my clients think more about the wants, because I think that can really unlock a lot of things. And I've got more tips, but I don't know if you want to have more follow-up questions.
Well, you know, I really love that about the, you know, the difference between the want and the should, because, I mean, we, and sometimes it's almost hard to determine if this is something that we want, or if it's something that we think society wants us, or our parents, or our family, or our, you know, spouse, or, you know, whatever wants us to do. So that's like really important to actually be able to try and determine, is this my want, or is this what I think somebody thinks I should do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we carry that around a lot. Like, you know, you might be going through somebody's books and they've got like 10 books about gardening, and they get to them and they're like, oh, and I'm like, do you like gardening? Like, no, but I should, I don't have a green thumb, but I should, you know. And it's like, you don't have to. You can go buy a potted plant, put it out front, and you're done.
Exactly. Well, that's actually kind of like me. I don't like gardening, but I keep the gardening book so that, like, I can show the gardener, here, do that. I can't do that. You do that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm so hopeless. It's like, I'll think it's a weed, and I'll pull it, and there'll be a pretty flower on the end. Like, okay, now that one.
I'm right there with you. I'm a hopeless gardener too.
Just not in my skill set. So I love pretty gardens, but you know, somebody else has got to do it. So, I've got a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
When was the last time you did something for the first time?
So it wasn't officially the first time, but the other day I jumped off a diving board, and this doesn't sound like a big deal, but I'm kind of like a risk averse person when it comes to physical stuff. Like, I don't ski, I don't like do any of that kind of stuff. And so my daughter and I have been going to our, you know, pools, you know, socially distanced, whatever. And she really wanted me to jump off the diving board. And as like a 43-year-old woman, you know, standing up there on the diving board, I'm like, what am I doing? And it's a really crazy experience. You jump in and like the whole weight of your body hitting the water. And it's just like, it's a pretty like intense thing, you know? So I don't know. It felt like, but I didn't really like it that much. I did it like 3 times. I told her I would do it 3 times and then I would stop.
Okay, that's enough. I've done it. That's good. You know, that's so funny. I one of our other speakers, I asked them this question, and they learned how to, they dived too for the first time. I think they're in their 40s as well. So I now feel like I need to go get a pool and dive as well. I haven't done that in like about 100 years, I don't think. So
it's crazy. It's a very crazy feeling. Yeah.
Okay. Gotta find a pool somewhere. So now let me ask you this. What's a movie that you can practically quote from start to finish?
Oh, that's so embarrassing, but The Notebook.
Oh, well, of course, Nicholas Sparks. So
I know. And I'm not even like a big fan of his books, but I'm a big fan of Ryan Gosling, which all my friends tease me about. And it's bad. I could quote that movie. Yeah.
I love it. That's great. So you did mention a gift you have for the audience. I'm going to let you tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay, great. So one of the things I like to talk about all the time is this whole concept of like, is it fun and easy? And it's sort of a different spin on spark joy. It's a lot about focusing what I talked about before about like getting away from the shoulds and going more to the wants. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my clients talk about the mental clutter that they have in their head. Yeah. And so this is this worksheet where you can brain dump everything that you've got in your head, the things that you've got on your mind, your to-dos and all that kind of stuff. And you can do it in 4 categories. So work, self, home, others. Then you can ask yourself the question, does it spark joy? Do I even want to do this, right? Like, I've got to plant flowers in the backyard. Does that spark joy? No, maybe not. So then you take Julie Morgenstern's brilliant 4 Ds, which I love: defer, delete, diminish, delegate, and you decide, okay, this thing, does it spark joy? Yes or no? No, it doesn't. I'm going to apply one of these 4Ds. And then it has a space where you can write the very next action item. So it's this really nice little worksheet that you can just kind of brain dump everything down on one page, and you can just find it at indigoorganizing.com/fun and easy.
I love that. And you know, we're going to have a link to that somewhere around this, it would be very easy for you to find. So, yeah, they'll have a link with it. And there'll also be linked to your website and stuff so people can find you. So that'll be good.
Perfect.
So if you could leave people with one action they can take to help them declutter their life, what would it be?
Say no. Say no. My favorite mantra is H2NO. Honesty, humor, and no.
I love that. That's wonderful. Well, and that's it. Like we say yes way too much when we want to say no. So yeah. I did it the other day. So I yeah, actually just a couple of days ago, I was like, why did I do this? So,
I know. I was on a podcast the other day, and the host, as I was talking, she got really silent, and I was like, kind of, you know, like, are you still there? And she was like, I just said yes to a board assignment that I think I need to say no to. You know, like, you still can't say no.
I love that. We need to like have it like tattooed on our arm or something. Say no. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a good thing. You know what? I have so enjoyed talking with you today, Amanda. This has been so fun. And I'm going to ask you, do you have any other thoughts that you want to leave the audience with before we go?
You know, I would just say, especially during these times, like be gentle on yourself. Like, you know, one of my favorite things that I like to talk about is the every damn day list that Sarah Von Bargen talks about online. Like, what's your everyday damn day list? Like, maybe a quick meditation, maybe a quick walk, like just a cup of tea. Like, what can you do that's like really simple, really bite-sized that you can be gentle on yourself today?
I love that. That's great. Thank you so much. I really have appreciated, I appreciate you being here, and I've enjoyed talking with you. Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thanks, Leanne. It's been so fun.
I know that the audience is going to get a lot out of this interview. I know they've been wondering about KonMari. I loved everything that you explained. So audience, I know you're going to enjoy, like I said, I know you're going to enjoy this as much as I did. And I do want you to make sure and check your emails tomorrow. There are going to be another couple of really great Acer Space interviews coming your way. So until then, I'll see you later. Bye-bye.